Baruch Hashem, we are now beginning a Parsha Shir. The Parsha is Parsha's Ekev, and today's date is the 18th of Av, Tav Shin Ayin Ches, corresponding with the English calendar of the 30th of July, 2018. Tonight's topic will be understanding the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of settling in Eretz Yisrael, and how this impacts on us today in the contemporary world. We'll try to derive some information from this parasha and to understand how a true Ben Torah looks at Eretz Yisrael, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and Kedushas Eretz Yisrael through the eyes and through the spectrum of Torah. To begin this parasha, we're going to go in read a little piece of the Gemara in Masechta Sota, Perek Yudalet. I'll read it outside, and you'll carefully listen, and we'll try to use the Gemara as the introduction of our shir. The Gemara says the following: Dorash Rabbi Simloi. Rabbi Simloi made a drasha. Mipnei ma. Nis'ava Moshe Rabbeinu likonis le'Eretz Yisrael. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have a desire to enter Eretz Yisrael? V'chi le'echol mipir Yehu tzarech? Was it because he wanted to eat the fruit of the land? Oy lisboya mituvahu tzarech? Or he wanted to satiate himself with the good climate and the beautiful appearance and the rolling meadows and the foliage. What was his desire? He wanted Eretz Yisrael. Avakach Amar Moshe. But this is what Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem. Harbe mitzot nistavu Yisrael. Ve'ein miskayim el be'Eretz Yisrael. There are many mitzvahs that the Jewish people were commanded and cannot be fulfilled only in Eretz Yisrael. Ekones ani l'Eretz kedei sheyiskaymu kulam al yodi. So I can fulfill all of the mitzvahs. And this was his plea to Hashem. This was his plea at the beginning of Parshas Vaeschanan, where the word Vaeschanan numerically adds up to 515. And each one of his tefillos were listened to the point where Hashem responded after the 515th prayer. Hashem says, enough. Al toisev daber elai oy badov hazeh. That means Hashem was listening to his tefillah. But for reasons...
What did he say? I'm sorry.
Al Tosev, don't continue to request any more of this. We're finished. No more. And from that point in time, Moshe Rabbeinu discontinued his plea, discontinued his tefillah. So he was asking Hashem to enter Eretz Yisrael, not to eat the fruit or to enjoy the beautiful climate, but to fulfill the many, many mitzvahs that are attached to the land. Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kulam Atem Mevakesh, El Kabel Schar. The only thing therefore you're only asking is to be able to get reward? Is that what you want? Do you want to do the mitzvahs? So you do the mitzvahs, you'll get reward. Is this your objective? Mali Ani Alecha Ki Ilu Asisa. I'll give you the reward, as if you've done it. That's enough of the Gemara that I'm going to repeat. That's for tonight. We see from the Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu had a tremendous Avas Yisrael, Avas Eretz Yisrael, tremendous love for the land of Israel. It wasn't just he liked the land because he wanted to enjoy the fruit. He had a tremendous love for the land. Not only that, we see that the Torah tells us that Hashem loved the Jewish people. And Hashem blessed the Jewish people as they would be fulfilling the mitzvahs of the Torah. Like it says in the beginning of the Parashas Ekev, right? V'hoya Ekev tishmun eis ha-mishpotim ha-eilu shmartim v'asisim ha-yisom. Because you have listened, you know, to the mishpotim, to the judgments and to the laws, and you will observe them. V'shama Hashem elekech elecha es habris, and Hashem will guard for you the covenant, v'es ha-chesed, asher nishma la-vaisecha, which he had promised and swore to your fathers. Va'ahevecha, and he will love you. Uveirachecha, and he will bless you. Vehirbecha, and he will increase you. Uveirach pivitnecha, ufiyad masecha, and he will bless your children and the fruit of the land. And this goes on and on and on and on. This is for observing the Torah. Now, we know the relationship Hashem with the Jewish people as they fulfill the mitzvahs is a loving relationship as a father to a child. It's a bond that it's unbelievably strong, and it's something that cannot be broken. But Eretz Yisrael comes with a condition, comes with a covenant, comes with rules, and comes with a promise. It's not just that he's giving it to them, he's fulfilling his promise to the forefathers, but he's giving it to the Jewish people with a condition. And we're going to go through some of the psukim right now that we will see what the condition was and how this impacts on us, on the Jewish people living in Eretz Yisrael through the history of the Jew until we are till today. So what we're going to do right now, I'm going to ask you all to please turn to Perikhes Pasik Aleph. Perikhes Pasik Aleph is on page 982 in the Art Scroll. The pasuk says, "Kol haMitzvah Hashanochi Mitzavcha Hayoyim Tishmeru Lasos." All of the mitzvahs which I am commanding you today, you are to guard to fulfill. L'man Tichyon, in order that you will live, Urevisem, and you will multiply, Uvasem, and you will come, Verishtem Es Haoretz, and you will inherit the land, Asher Nishba Hashem L'Avoseichem. What is this telling you? There's a condition. You listen to the mitzvahs, you guard and fulfill your commitment, then you will come and you will inherit the land. Another important pasuk, let's go further, pasuk in the same page. V'yadata im levavecha ki kasha yayasa ish es beno, yal shal know, it should be on your heart that like a father chastises his son, Hashem Elokecha Miyaseka. So does Hashem chastise you, because the relationship is a father to a son. V'shamarta es mitzvos Hashem Elokecha, you shall guard the mitzvos lalechas b'drachav ul'yira isoi. Ki Hashem Elokecha mivayacha el eretz tova, because Hashem your God has brought you to a good land, eretz lach limoyim, a land with rivers, flowing water, and fountains, ayonos, usahomos, and deep fountains, yotzim, babiko, v'har. It's with valleys and with mountains, and it continues with a famous pasuk, Eretz chito sa'ayra v'gefen, the saying of Rimo, the land that's blessed with seven species, the land of wheat and barley and grapes and figs and pomegranates, a land of olives, of oil and honey, and so on and on. But this is conditional. It's conditional if you fulfill the mitzvahs. Let's go further. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud Aleph, next page. Hishar Melacha. Hashem is now warning you. Pentishach es Hashem Elokecha, lest you forget Hashem your God, levilti shemor mitzvaysav, to avoid doing, guarding the his mitzvahs and his judgments, umishpatav v'chukaysav, and his statutes, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, which I'm commanded to you. What might make that? Well, you do something wrong? Pentochel v'savata, lest you eat and become satiated. Uvatem toivim tivna, you'll live in nice houses v'yashavta, and you'll dwell there. And then you'll have sheep and cattle v'kocha v'tenka yirbiyum v'chesev v'zov yirbelach. V'chol ashelachar yirba, and everything that you will have will increase. But what will happen? Pasuk Yudalid, v'ram levavecha, and your heart will become haughty. V'shachachtes Hashem olaykecha, pasuk Yudalid, and you forget Hashem your God. Hamotziach meretz Mitzrayim beis avodim. You have to be careful that Hashem will bless you with land. Hashem will bless you with wealth, cattle, every possible blessing you can imagine. But be careful. It shouldn't get to your head. It shouldn't overcome you, because if you forget your God, then Hashem will respond. The land of Israel is with a condition. It's not free for all. It's with a condition. And finally, I would like to bring you to the very famous pasuk that you say every single day. And that is in V'hayim Shemoa, that's in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel, that's towards the end of the parasha, Perek Yud Aleph, page 994. This we are all familiar. So far you can see the direction we're going to, and that we are going to reach a climax where we are going to repeat a pasuk that we say properly twice a day minimum in our davening in the morning or in the evening. It's the parsha of Kriya Shema. And what I've just told you is now riveted in our minds, literally, because we repeat it every day. Maybe we don't walk around every day repeating Parshas Ekev, like I've just pointed out with some psukim, but the pasuk we're going to say will say whatever I said as clear as day. If you shall surely listen to my commandments which I'm commanding you today, La'avas Hashem alekeichem, to love Hashem your God, who loved him, b'chol avavkem, b'chol nafshekem, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. I will bless you. V'nasati meta'arzachem v'ita yere amalkosh. And I will give you the rain in its time. There is an early rain and there are late rains. Yere umalkosh. This is rains that are good for the field. An early rain and a late rain. Now, the late rain will make sure that the husks are full and fresh and ready to be harvested. There's an early rain, getting the ground ready, and there's a late rain. V'yasafta digonecha, and you will gather in your grain, your crop, v'sireishcha v'yitzarecha, and your vineyards, and in your olive groves. V'nasati esav b'sarzcha livhemtecha, I will give you grass for your, in your seals for your animals, v'achalto v'savata, and you will eat and you will be satisfied. This is so far, it's almost repetition of what I showed you in the parasha moment ago, that you're going to be blessed and you'll have material wealth. But hishamu lechem, top of page 996. Guard yourself. With all the wealth, be careful. It will turn your heart again away from Hashem, and you will serve other gods. You bow down to them. And Hashem's wrath will burn in you. And he will close up the heavens, and there will not be any rain. That's one of the witnesses we spoke about last week. The heaven will be a witness, and the ground, the earth, will be a witness. And they will be the first to testify and to punish. And the ground will not give forth its produce. And you will be lost very quickly, not slowly, but very quickly from the land, the good land which Hashem has given to you. So now we see reward and we see punishment. What will be able to maintain your existence in the land of Israel is the next part. You shall place these words upon your heart and soul. And you'll bind a sign on your hand. Shall be ornaments between your eyes. And you will teach your children to speak in them the words of Torah. It's not enough doing mitzvahs. You have to be engaged in learning Torah and teaching your children Torah. Learning Torah, if you don't have a child, but learning yourself, naturally a person can do. You have to be engaged in the learning of Torah in order to be insulated, protected, safeguarded from the ills of society that envelop us, and that way you could be guaranteed that the blessings that are waiting to be fulfilled will be forthcoming. And he continues on. What kind of learning? By sitting in your house, while you're on the road, and then you're laying down and getting up. And you shall write the mezuzahs on the doorposts of your house and your gates. In order, this is the clincher, in order that your days of your days and your children's days shall be increased on the land, has sworn to your forefathers to give to them, and he'll fulfill this, which will be kimei hashemayim malos, like the days of heaven on this world, which is also a little hidden secret that by person fulfilling the Torah properly can be given supernatural assistance from heaven, because the words kimei hashemayim malos means something supernatural. What does it mean, like the days of heaven on the earth? What is that supposed to mean? In Yiddish would be Himmeltag in der Welt. What is Himmeltag? What do you mean heaven? Because in heaven there is no limitation of time. In heaven things go chick chack. Eliyahu Navi is in my table here, and in Australia he's also in seconds there. How could that be? I mean, because when you deal with supernatural, then it goes beyond our realm of life. When a person learns Torah and he's engaged and he's committed and he's totally absorbed, he has siyata d'shmaya, we say, heaven, hell. He has certain heavenly assistance that help him. So that's what I just read. Now, all of the psukim I have I've brought before, we have summarized it with the Kriya Shema that we say, and this is very important. Yes, go ahead.
So this is they're at the Yarden, and they're going to be entering, but Moses isn't going to be able.
That is correct.
So my question is, for some of us here that are not going to Israel, how do we relate to this?
We relate to this because we are living in a state of galus, and we desire, our heart, our neshama desires to one day be there and live there. We are not where we belong. We might have property. We may own real estate here. But this is not where we think we belong. This is where we are temporarily. We have to be where we are. If we are, the Hashem put us in a certain situation where we were born here or we were brought here by parents or however the Hashgacha, then the Hashgacha will play itself. It does not mean that this is where we belong. This doesn't mean that this is where I belong. But as far as the Torah is concerned, the Jewish people are just about ready to cross the Jordan River. Moshe Rabbeinu was begging the Almighty to allow him to cross, and for reasons that Hashem did not disclose, just the open reason of he didn't sanctify Hashem's name by the waters of Mareh Meriva at the time when he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. Moshe Rabbeinu prayed 515 prayers, and Hashem said no, and stop the prayer. That's the end of that. But what does this all tell us over here? It tells us that we belong in Eretz Yisrael. It tells us being in Eretz Yisrael is conditional. It's not that there is just a free pass. Being in Eretz Yisrael is comes with a price. And when the Jewish people obey the Torah, then they will be blessed with protection, they'll be blessed with material wealth, they'll be blessed with success, honor, with prestige and reverence among the world at large, and they will forge ahead as an Am Segula. Should they not follow those directives, then there are alternatives, and the alternatives are not good. The alternatives are where Hashem has to punish. Hashem has to get their attention to change. Hashem doesn't want to punish. Hashem would like you to finish, I mean, not to finish, to change your course of action, but Hashem will punish in order to get your attention. The purpose of the punishment is to get your attention and to get you back on track. That's the purpose of why Hashem reacts in a very strong way when the Jewish people refuse to listen to the messages. Like I've told you more than once, going to the dentist is sometimes not a very pleasant experience, especially if they have to drill your teeth and put a root canal into place and so forth. But when the root canal is prepared, he saved your tooth. The pain that comes with a toothache might not be pleasant, but the toothache is an attention getter. The tooth is crying out to the person, help me, save me. I don't want to get lost. I don't want to fall out of your mouth. Please, go to the dentist and get it repaired. It might not be pleasant, but it's going to save the tooth. The Jewish people go through gullus is an attention getter. We don't belong here. We belong in Eretz Yisrael. And when Hashem sees us in Eretz Yisrael disobey the Torah, then Hashem has to get our attention. And the way he gets our attention, by the different punishments, the different klolos, the parsha Bichukosai goes into it, parsha Kisavo goes into it, and so forth. Having said all this, I want to make a comment and to explain a Torah perspective, which is perhaps very, very misunderstood today. The understanding that There are different groups in Eretz Yisrael, or throughout the world for that matter, that is pro-Israel, as we'll call the Zionist people. The truth of the matter is, the real Zionists, are the Talmidei Chachamim, are the people who uphold the letter of the law. The real Zionists, the real people who are trying to keep Eretz Yisrael holy and sacred, are the people who are the Talmidei Chachamim. These are the real Zionists. Not that this is not a political discussion. This has nothing to do with. This is a Torah discussion. We're making a Torah statement over here. The Torah, we just got through going through Parshas Ekev with the conclusion of Ahoye Im Shemay. Now, one of the problems to explain why there is machlokes, why there is this dissension, disagreements into Jewish people, that we know there are very big religious clashes in Israel. Some are on this side of the fence and some are on the other side of the fence. And we lack communication. If you studied carefully the point of contention very carefully, one is crying out, let's talk from the religious camp, they're crying out, we are in Israel to observe the Torah, and that is why Israel was given to us. The opposite side says Israel is part of the Jewish people, and we belong here, and this is our homeland, and therefore don't take this away from us. How do we make peace from that? How do we make peace with this argument? Then you have the different groups of saying, go to military and not go to military. Now, these are ideological arguments that I am not capable or qualified to answer. But I'm just bringing out, in the course of our parsha, to tell you the contention that's taking place really, really centers on understanding Parshas Ekev. You want to have a question? Go ahead. Zisha, go ahead.
I guess this goes back to the historical thing and the beginning of the State of Israel. Now, I'm not trying to talk about the political, but then there were these certain religious people that were, I don't know at all, but weren't they saying we shouldn't fight, we should wait, we should wait for Mashiach?
Okay, so I am not privy.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that okay, what again. Happened, that they didn't really want to...
I am not...
That might verge on political.
No, see, this was very important over here. I do not want tonight's discussion to become a political thing, because unfortunately, when you get into the politics of the contention taking place in Israel, then we steer away from the Torah view altogether. It becomes very, very politically involved and politically slanted. I'm not interested in talking about politics. There's views this way and there are views that way.
I'm talking about the history rather than political.
I cannot explain the motives of certain religious people. But I can explain that I am incapable of answering those questions that people are looking to find answers to, as far as why some religious groups follow this group or this path and some religious group follow a different path. I am incapable of answering those questions because, number one, I don't know the history of every group. I can't explain the religious motives of the opposing groups. I'm not qualified. That's not what I'm here for. I am only explaining that Parshas Ekev made a very clear statement that the Eretz Yisrael is given to the Jewish people by Hashem as a gift, keeping the promise of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And I mentioned several psukim, one after the other, that providing you observe the mitzvahs, you will get the land, you will keep the land, you will be blessed in the land, and you will prosper in the land. If you don't keep the mitzvahs, then we say it in the Shema twice a day, Hishamu lachem pen yifta levavchem v'sartem v'avatem alhim achem you. If you don't listen to the Torah, then you will lose the land. That's all I'm now merely saying. I'm now trying to bring out that if you want to know where the contention that's in Israel throughout our recent history of what's going on, it has basically to do how we understand the parasha. You see, unfortunately, most of the Israeli population, unfortunately, are not educated with Torah education. So they are purely looking at Israel as a nation among nations. Not necessarily given by God. They don't even understand the connection. They didn't learn the Torah. They don't understand. Most Israelis don't understand the connection of the Yiddishkeit. There's some Israelis had to come to Chutzlaretz, like even to Toronto, to learn about the beauty of Judaism, to finally appreciate what Yiddishkeit is all about. It's purely like Avram Palm, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, one of the great Gedolim, passed away a few years ago, said it was this miserable education that they didn't get. They got this miserable secular education that they did not get Yiddishkeit, Torah education, and that's why you have a whole generation of people fighting each other, fighting the Jew. If you would really study the core of the machlokes between the secular and the religious, it's all based on what if they believe in the Parshas Ekev or not. That's the core. To explain the different groups and why they are different than this and than that, that I'm incapable of explaining. But what I would like to end off saying is as follows. This is what we say in Shemona Esrei. Es tzemach dovet avzacho mehera satzmiach. Vekarin etorim bishu asecha ki lishu asecha ki vinu kol hayom. We pray that Mashiach shall come. The sprouting, es tzemach dovet avzacho, the sprouting forth of dovet havmelech seed, mehera satzmiach. Because when we pray for Mashiach, we're praying that he should solve our religious strife, our religious contention, our impossible situation in Eretz Yisrael, where the Jew who learned the Torah is fighting with his heart one way, and the secular Jew who never learned the Torah is fighting the other way. And he's logical. He's right. What are you bothering me? It's a free country. I'm Jewish. I was born Jew, and let me live that way. What do you want from me? We need Mashiach to help us. I don't have those answers. We daven for it. Quickly you should spell. V'karino, Torim b'shu asecha, and his pride shall be lifted up with his salvation. Because we say, for you, Hashem, we hope every day. But it's important for us to understand the core of this major disagreement. The core, I say not in the many splinter groups, but I'm talking about the core, the major rift. And you'll notice something very, very interesting. You'll notice that there are many Baalei Tshuva who are on the left camp and get educated, turn to the right. Because it's saying, I never knew this was to be. I never knew this was mitzvahs and Torah. I never knew this is the way of life of a Jew. I thought being a Jew is waving an Israeli flag and singing a tikvah. I thought that's all it amounts to. I never knew that. When people get educated, they see the beauty of Torah. How in the world are we going to change the tide? There are millions of secular Jews, and there is a minority of religious Jews. How are we going to... Well, the first thing is we have to learn to love and not hate. That's the first thing. The second thing, we have to try to bridge the gap in whichever way by making us become role models. Why should a secular Jew want to become a religious Jew if there is the role model is antagonistic to him? He has to have, there has to be a bridge between the two. The question is, how can we bridge the gap? And who is qualified to bridge the gap? And what's the way of bridging the gap? This is not in my domain. This I can't answer because it's too complicated, involves too many variables, involves too many peoples. And unfortunately today it became a very, very political subject. But again, as I said before, we're not talking about politics. We're talking about Yiddishkeit. The core of Eretz Yisrael, of loving the land and living in the land, buying property in the land, and striving and hoping one day to be in Eretz Yisrael, is like what I started off with the Gemara in Sota. With the Gemara in Sota, I said that Moshe Rabbeinu had longed for Eretz Yisrael. He will long for Eretz Yisrael, not to eat its fruit or to enjoy its climate, but to fulfill its mitzvahs. That is why Hashem gave it to us. And that's the reason what Parshas Ekev is replete with the same message again and again and again. I'm giving you the land to inherit, but you have to fulfill the mitzvahs. I'll bless you with material wealth. I'll bless you with children, with honor, prestige, and all of the good things of life. But you got to fulfill the Torah. We say it in Shema, V'hayim Shema Tishmu. If you do it, you're entitled. This is your entitlement to Eretz Yisrael. And this is how we have to learn to appreciate Eretz Yisrael, that it's our land. It's a land of doing mitzvahs, it's a land of Torah. And when we dive in for the coming of Mashiach, we should dive in that our brethren who are so far away from the truth shall one day recognize that we, the Jewish people, have been blessed with a land of milk and honey, and it's ours to keep with the condition of observing the Torah. May one day Mashiach will come and we will be fortunate to see him speedily in our days. Thank you.